God, we need you. God, we need you. Lord, you want to help some people tonight. You want to help your body tonight. You want to help visitors tonight. You want to help young people tonight. I pray, Lord, that your will be done. Oh, God. Help us to know you better tonight, Lord. First verse of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. That was Saul's problem. Saul couldn't listen to God. Saul liked to listen to the people more than he liked to listen to God. Saul was the people's king. He wasn't God's king. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, Samuel told Saul, you are going to listen, son. You have been anointed for a task. You have been anointed for a reason and a purpose. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Verse 8 says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. As we get to the end of the story of verse 32, after Samuel goes to Saul and says, what is going on here? You had a task that you were called to do. And Saul said, what are you talking about? I did it. And he said, oh, is that so, son? Then what does this bleeding of the sheep in my ears mean? And everything else. And what's Agag doing around? And verse 32 says, then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, you got another thing coming. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought. Enemies you should have defeated. Enemies that you should have defeated. Help me to pray. God, we ask, Lord, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, that You, Lord, would move tonight. Lord, we are asking right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we are asking, Lord, that You, Lord, would touch. Lord, we are asking, Lord, that You, Lord, would bless. Lord, we are asking, Lord, that You, Jesus, would touch some hearts, Lord, and touch some lives, Jesus. Lord, and for it we give You the praise. For it we give You the glory. And for it we give You the honor. Everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Enemies you should have defeated. Enemies that you should have destroyed. That was not Samuel's job. That was not Samuel's task to have to go and slew and kill Agag. That was not what God had called Samuel to do. God had called Samuel to be the prophet. God had called Samuel to be the man of God. God had called Samuel for a purpose. And Samuel also said unto Saul that the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over His people, over Israel. Now, Saul, you've got a task that you have to do, and you have been anointed for that task. You have been anointed to do that task. You were anointed with oil. I'm going to tell you something, each and every one of us in this place, if we've got the Holy Ghost, then we've been anointed with an oil. We've been anointed with an oil. We've been anointed with the oil of gladness. We've been anointed with the oil of power. We have been anointed by God Almighty Himself to do a task and to do a job and to do a work. And Samuel told Saul, you've been anointed, and you're anointed, and your task, Saul, is simply this. You've got an enemy that you need to destroy. You've got an enemy that you need to kill. You've got an enemy that you need to bring under subjection. I'm going to tell you, Saul was doing more than slaying Agag. Saul was trying to kill an enemy that was going to destroy his very flesh. And Saul couldn't do it, even though he was anointed for the task. Even though he was anointed for the job. I'm talking to some people in this place tonight that God has anointed you for a time such as this. And yet we can be in service and we can feel the power of God and we can feel the touch of God and we can feel the anointing of God. And you can come to an altar and you can feel the presence of God and you can feel the Spirit of God and you can feel the power of God. And you walk out of the service with a smile on your face. You walk out of the service with a spring in your step. You walk out of the service with a song in your heart, only to get into your car and all of a sudden that smile seems to go. All of a sudden, young people, when you walk into school, that victory that you felt last night seems to vanish and you seem to be thinking, where is God? I'm going to tell you where God is. God's right where you left Him. You left Him at the altar. The problem that you made is you need to take God from the altar to your car. You need to take God from the altar to your bedroom. You need to take God from the altar to school. God has filled you and has done a work in your life only to come back. You know what happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. The enemies of your life, when you come to an altar, you begin to knock down and you begin to bring to their knees. But all of a sudden, there's one thing that you forget to do when you get to the altar. You forget to knock the head off the enemy. You forget to decapitate your enemy. And all of a sudden, all you're doing when you come to the altar and you're not killing the enemies of your life, all you're doing is getting them mad. That's all you're doing. All you're doing is getting them ticked off so that they get up and say, you know what? You're gonna regret the day that you knocked me down. You're gonna regret the day that you made my face go into the mud. You're gonna regret the day that that began to happen. And all of a sudden, those enemies begin to start to rise. And every night, God is giving you an opportunity to take the enemies of your life that are trying to destroy you, to take the enemies of your life that are trying to separate you from God, and you are refusing to kill them. You are refusing to do anything with them. You're just, all you're doing is just knocking them down. All you're doing is just knocking the proverbial wind out of them, so to speak. All you're doing is making them mad. That's all. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to just make them mad. You don't have to just come to an altar. I'm talking to some people that you have asked God the very question, why, God? You have asked Him the question today, why, God, do I seem to feel Your presence at service and I get out of service and I don't feel that anymore? I don't feel that victory. I seem to be able to run. I seem to be able to jump. I seem to be able to shout. I seem to be able to do all that while I'm in church, but I can't seem to do it while I'm out of church. I'm here to tell you, you can't do it while you're out of church. You can do it while you're out of church. You can live for God. You can be victorious. You can do it. 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 Some of you are doing just like Saul tried to do. Saul made the man of God be the bad guy in his life. Saul made the man of God look like the bad guy. I could sit here for about 15 minutes and talk to some parents who you want to make the pastor be the bad guy. You want to make the pastor be the bad guy. You want to make the pastor be the one to set the law down in your family. You want to make the pastor be the one to tell your kids to behave. You want to make the pastor be the one to tell your kids to live for God. You want to make the pastor be the one to tell your kids to live for God when they're in school. I'm telling you, there's some things, there's some enemies that you've got to destroy. There's some enemies that you need. Quit trying to make the pastor be the bad guy. All you're doing is alienating your kids from the man of God that they are going to need in their life when there comes a time that they're going to need to talk to their pastor from their heart because they've got something going on in their life. They're going to refuse to do it because they're going to look at that guy as the one that's yielding the bloody sword. I'm taking my tie off. If I can't get this done in 45 minutes, then I can't get it done. But I'm talking to some parents tonight. You need to get out and you need to yield a sword in your home. You need to pull the sword out in your home and say, you know what? I'm not going to have this ungodly music in my house. I'm not going to have this ungodly music in my house. This rap junk, this rock junk, you can go ahead and laugh if you want. This ain't funny. Your soul's standing in the balance. You can laugh. This ain't funny. This ain't a laughing matter. I'm talking to some kids. Your rebellion is the sin is witchcraft. And your rebellion is going to send you straight to hell. And tonight, the Holy Ghost wants you to know that your pastor and your church and your God is Q to you. Hallelujah. Why? Because you refuse to kill some enemies in your life. You want the man of God to yield the sword. It's time for some young men to go into your closet and pull out some girly books and throw them in a bag and say, you know what? I ain't gonna want to look at those things anymore. It's time for some of you moms and dads to tell your kids, I love you so much, I'm disconnecting the telephone cord from the computer because the computer's sending you to hell. I'm talking about enemies that you can destroy. I'm talking about enemies that you should be destroying. But yet you want the man of God to get behind the pulpit and do all the regulating from the pulpit. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's getting regulated from the pulpit, but it's going between your ears. I've asked the Lord, Lord, why now? In the fourth week of revival. Why? I don't know if I'm the only one that feels it. But it feels like when it comes time to the altar service and there are people that need the Holy Ghost, it seems like there is a lid. It just feels like there's a lid right on top and nobody's able to get the Holy Ghost. When just last week, people were getting the Holy Ghost freely and people were, you know, there were backsliders that were praying through and there were people that hadn't talked in tongues in months that had received the Holy Ghost. Some hadn't talked in tongues in years. They were renewed in the Holy Ghost and all of a sudden, the same God and the same Spirit and everything else. And God said, no, it's not going to happen. Why? Because there's some enemies that you need to be destroying. There's some enemies that you need to kill. There's some things in your life that you need to say, you know what? I'm going to kill it tonight. 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 Once and for all, I'm going to kill some things. I'm going to kill my flesh. I could point at people, but I won't for risk of embarrassment. But I can point at people who in the beginning of this revival were coming to the altar and raising their hands and the Spirit of their God was getting on them and they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And now here we are coming to the end and you refuse to come to the altar. You refuse to pray. You refuse to touch God. You refuse. You better watch it, friend, because in your midst of playing spiritual chicken, you just blink. God will never blink. I'm talking tonight. You think it's just young people. It's not just young people. There are people from this pew all the way to the back. There's some things in your life and there's some areas of your heart that you need to kill. There's some enemies in your life that are trying to destroy you. There's some things in your life that are trying to send you to hell. And your God is here and He's given you His Spirit. And He's saying, come on, you can't kill the enemy, but you and I can kill the enemy. You need to draw nigh to me. Come on, let's love the Lord a little bit. Come on, let's worship God. God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that these precious people would realize that there's some enemies that they can destroy. God, help us. You've got to understand something. Saul was anointed with an anointing oil. We are anointed with the Holy Ghost. We are anointed with the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you have been anointed with power. We think that that power we've been anointed with is power that we can go up to somebody that's blind and lay our hands on their head in Jesus' name and pray for them and they would receive their sight. And it is. But you know what? It's not just that kind of power. It's power to rise above and live above the world. It's power to, no matter what's going on in your life and no matter what kind of hand you've been dealt, you can live for God and you can live for God victoriously. God loved Saul so much, he was willing to give him another chance. God loved Saul so much. He was willing to give him another chance. He loved Saul so much, he was willing to give him another chance. Do you know, this afternoon, I had this kink in my neck, so I wasn't able to pull my rig, and there was a guy that cleaned the carpet in the church in Corcoran on Monday. And man, it was the worst carpet job I'd ever seen in my life. Man, he put so much soap down on that rug that the carpet was just one big wash of brown. And they called him back. They called him back. And today was the day he was supposed to come. He was supposed to come at 11 o'clock. Got up early in the morning, went into the church and was praying. And I'm praying and I'm seeking God, and like a knucklehead, I'm in there by myself. I forgot to lock the side door. And it's just me and God, and we're just having a little conversation. And all of a sudden, the door comes flying open at about 10 minutes after 10. And it was the carpet guy. And he looks at me like, buddy, what are you doing? And I look at him like, buddy, what are you doing? You're interrupting a very special moment right now. And you ain't supposed to be here till 11 o'clock. I said, you, sir, are early. And he said, I get up early. I said, yeah, well, 11 o'clock is 11 o'clock. And nobody's here. And they'll be here at 11 o'clock. And he says, well, can you turn on some lights? And so I turned on some lights. And I said, you need more lights? And he said, oh no, I don't need any more light. I don't need any more light. What I'm seeing right now is hurting my eyes bad enough. Any more light, he saw it and he realized it. He had had he just did a bad job. I mean, it was awful. And he said, and now I'm the liaison here. I know what everybody had talked about and what they had decided they were going to do, and they decided that they weren't going to let this guy touch the rug again. And so he says, well, I'll get my stuff and I'll start right away. And I said, wait a minute. Nope. No, they don't want you to do anything. You've done quite enough, sir. Thank you. You have done quite enough, sir. Thank you. Your services are no longer needed. And he said, well, do you want me to give you your money back? And I said, well, we don't expect you to give everything back. He said, well, how about if I give half of it back to you? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm just the evangelist. And so he says, I said, let me make a phone call. So I called Brother Hale and I said, hey, the carpet guy's here. And he said, well, he was supposed to be here. I said, I know he was supposed to be here at 11. He's here right now. And he said, well, I'll get there in a little bit. I said, he wants to give half the money back. He said, well, we'll see. So he gets there. And he says, I'm telling you, if you give me another chance, if you give me another, just give me another chance. Just give me another chance. And they were said, no, I think that you've done quite enough. Thank you. I think you've done quite enough. Thank you. And the man was just insistent. If you would just give me another chance. I know that you will never call me back again. I know that you will never call me. I will give you your money back. But just give me another chance. And so I got on the phone and I called some people that I knew and asked them questions about the carpet. And they said, hey, listen, the guy can't ruin it any worse than it is. The guy can't make it any worse than it is right now. So, Brother Hale looked at me and said, what do you think I should do? I said, you know what? I think you ought to give him another shot. I think you ought to just give him another shot. So he said, okay, have at it. Do it again. And the guy was so thankful. And he was so appreciative. I mean, we were waiting for some stuff to dry, and I said, hey, I'm going to get a Diet Coke. You want one? He said, man, I can't have a Diet Coke right now. I feel like a jerk. I feel like a heel. I did you people wrong. And I said, man, what are you talking about? It was a mistake. I mean, you used too much soap. Big deal. You know, so what? Just let it go. We're not trying to hang you. We're not trying to do anything. We're not saying you're a dummy. You're the one saying you're a dummy. And so he said, well, all right, fine. Give me the Diet Coke. And so he was drinking Diet Coke, and we were talking some, and he just kept saying, thank you. Thank you for giving me a second chance. 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 And the last time he said it, when he turned around and walked out the door, walked out and started cleaning on the rug again, all of a sudden it was like I felt the Lord tell me, how many of my people do I give a second chance to? And they're not even, I'm giving them a second chance at eternal life. I'm giving them a third chance at eternal life. I'm giving them a fourth chance at eternal life. I'm giving them a tenth chance at eternal life, and they're not as appreciative when I'm giving them a chance at eternal life than this guy is for a $400 carpet job. And God loved Saul so much, he was going to give him a second chance. And God loves you so much that he is willing to give you a second chance. Some of you, it's more than a second chance. Some of you, it's a third chance. Some of you, it's a fourth chance. Some of you, it's you don't even know how many chances it's been. But you know what? He's giving you another chance tonight. He is giving you another chance to destroy and defeat an enemy that you should have defeated long ago. You've got to understand something. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm telling you, our God gives us power to defeat the enemy. Our God gives us power to rise above the enemies in our life. Our God gives us the Holy Ghost. God. Judas had the money bag. And Judas had the heart of a thief. And Judas did not just have the heart of a thief when he received the pouch. Judas always had the heart of a thief. Judas always had the heart of a thief. And everything that he did with the heart of a thief. And everything that he said with the heart and the mouth of a thief. That's why he could look at the woman that broke the alabaster box and say, that was 300 pence. Now, forgive my Indiana University math, but had that woman sold it and paid tithe on it, that would have amounted to 30 pieces of silver. 300 pence divided by 10% comes out to 30 pieces of silver. And Judas let that 30 pieces of silver send him to hell. Do you realize something? Jesus, when he talked, Jesus talked about money more than he talked about just about anything else. Was he doing it just to teach the Israelites something? Yes, he was. But he was doing it because there was a thief in his camp. He was doing it because there was somebody in the camp that had something in their heart. There was an enemy that was trying to destroy one of the 12. And it was a money problem. And so Jesus reached for him, and Jesus talked to him, and Jesus pled with him, but it didn't happen. All Judas thought about was, you know what? I could have had 30 more pieces of silver in this pouch. It wasn't even his to begin with. It was the Lord's, but he was the one that was carrying the pouch, so he thought that it was his. When he left, he didn't give the pouch to anybody. When Judas left, I don't read one time where he took the pouch and gave it to Jesus and said, you better give this to somebody else, because heretofore I'm not going to be needing it any longer because I'm going down a different road. He didn't. When he left with the pouch, and he left with all the money that was in it. And he added to it that night 30 pieces of silver. There was an enemy that was trying to destroy him. And Judas refused to slay the enemy in his life. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He brought it again. At that point, when he saw that, Judas saw himself for who he was, but it was too late. What is going to happen in this house tonight when you finally see yourself for who you are? Will it be too late? Your God is making an impassioned plea for you tonight to come. Your God is making an impassioned plea to you tonight to submit. Your God is making an impassioned plea tonight for you to yield. Judas refused until it was too late. Judas refused until it was too late. He brought the people, brother. He brought the silver, brother Pepper, to the wrong man's feet. He threw the 30 pieces of silver at the wrong man. What would have happened had he thrown those 30 pieces of silver at the feet of Jesus Christ? What would have happened had he gone up to Jesus and thrown those 30 pieces of silver and fell at his feet and said, God, I didn't realize it, but for 3.5 years I was the one that had the problem. And all that time, you were talking to them. You were talking to me. God, all that time, my pastor has been preaching to them. He's really been preaching to me. Lord, all that time that the evangelist was reaching for them, he was really reaching for me. There was an enemy that I should have defeated. You have to realize something. It destroyed Judas. And it destroyed Saul. Because Saul refused to yield. And Saul refused. Did you ever wonder? Did you ever wonder why just 2 chapters later in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul is faced with another enemy? It's the enemy of the Philistines. It's their most hated enemy. And there's a big 10-foot guy by the name of Goliath that is standing there saying, send me a man. And the Bible says that all the men in Israel and Saul were discomfited. They were all knocking their knees when they were looking at the king saying, come on, king, lead. There the king was saying, no, you got the wrong man. I couldn't even kill the last enemy, and he wasn't near as bad as this guy. Where's the man of God? I need him to come. And I need him to... He had to kill the last one. He's not here. I can't do this. And God said, don't worry. I've got somebody else that'll come and fight your battles. I've got somebody else that'll come and fight your battles. I've got a man of my own heart that's coming onto the scene that's going to say, is there not a cause? And he came with 5 smooth stones and a sling and went, and down that enemy went. And Saul had to sit there for the second time and say, that's the second time there's been an enemy that I should have been able to handle, but I couldn't. And it made Saul hate David. Saul has slayed his thousands, but David has slayed his 10,000s. Why? Because David knew what God had given him. And there he was. We saw on the run of his life. Now the Philistines, that enemy that he was supposed to utterly destroy, that man that he was supposed to kill and slay, that he was sitting there on the sidelines, came back to haunt him. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishah, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. And he was sore wounded of the archers. So here Saul is on his deathbed. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Verse 6 says, so Saul died, and his 3 sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day. together. Verse 8 says, and it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bashan. Why? Because Saul refused to kill some enemies that he should have defeated. Saul refused to kill some enemies that he should have slain. He should have destroyed them, and he didn't destroy them. And so they came and destroyed him. And when they destroyed him, they paraded him around. They cut his head off. They put his armor in the house of their God and said, oh, look at this. Oh, look at who we have. Because we have a man that couldn't destroy his enemies when he had a God that could have destroyed anything. And some of you in here tonight think that the enemy that is haunting you and the enemy that is hounding you is too big. You don't realize your God. You don't realize the God that you serve. You don't realize how big your God is. You don't realize how strong your God is. You don't realize what your God can do. My God can walk on the water. My God can heal the sick. My God can raise the dead. My God can help me slay my enemies. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. Simon, I prayed for you. Simon, I prayed for you. And Jesus said, I pray not for these only, but I pray for those that are going to be coming after them. He didn't just pray for Simon that night in the garden. He prayed for me and he prayed for you, that your faith and your strength fail not. And that same night, when one man was defeated by his enemy, one man that hung himself, one man that did all those other things, there was another man that went running on the run for his life, but he went running and he said, God, I know that I fouled up. God, I know that I done messed up. God, I know I thought that I was Peter, but I'm really not Peter yet. I'm still Simon. God, I'm trying to run faster than you want me to run. God, I'm still Simon. And God said, I know you're still Simon. Simon, do you love me? Come on. Feed my lambs. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? I know you're Simon right now, but there's going to be coming a day when you're not going to be Simon any longer. You're going to be Peter. You're going to have a conversion experience. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And it happened in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when Simon, who was normally knocking his knees, when Simon, who was normally saying, I don't know him, when Simon, who would curse, and Simon, who would swear, and Simon, who would stick his foot in his mouth, all of a sudden Simon had a conversion experience, and he stood up and looked at the 3,000 that were there, everybody that was there, 3,000 got the Holy Ghost, 3,000 were baptized in Jesus' name, and he said, men and brethren, listen to me. Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't drop the ball that day. And there we find Simon at the end of his life. Simon now is an old man. Simon now is at the end. Simon now knows that his time is short. Some people say that Peter died in Rome. I'm sorry. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that. I don't see anywhere where Peter went to Rome. Peter was the apostle to the Jew. The Catholics want you to believe that the first pope died in Rome. I don't want to mince theological swords with anybody. But that's just Catholic myth. And so there Simon is at the end of his life. Now we do know that Peter was crucified upside down. So he stood before the judge. And the judge said, I know you. I know all about you. They call you Peter. But Peter's not your name, really, is it? Your name is Simon. And I know how the story goes. You denied your God not once, not twice, but three times in one night. So here you go, old man. This will be real easy for you. All you got to do is just deny him one more time. Just once. We don't want you to do it twice. We don't want you to do it three times. We don't even want you to swear. You can live your life in perfect harmony and perfect peace. All you got to do is what is so easy for you to begin with. Just say, I don't know him. So what'll it be, Simon? And I could just see the laugh on his face and the scowl and the sneer. There's the door. You can turn and walk out of here a free man. But old Peter realized that there was an enemy a long time ago, and it was in a faraway land as far as he was concerned, and that was a different Peter. That was Simon. Simon is dead. That was Simon. Simon was buried in baptism. That was Simon. Simon was filled with the Holy Ghost. That was Simon. I ain't Simon any longer. Now you got it wrong, Bob. The name is Peter, and I ain't gonna deny him. You might as well crucify me, and you might as well crucify me upside down. Come on now. Why did it happen? Do you want to know why it happened? You listen here. Because there was an enemy that Peter destroyed long ago, that he knew he had to destroy. His pastor couldn't destroy it. He had to destroy it. His pastor could lead him to the water, but he was the one. His pastor could lead him through the door. His pastor could give him the sword. But he was the one that was going to have to raise it over his head and through the neck of his enemy. And you've not only been given the Spirit, friend, but you've been given a sword in your hand that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that is able to pierce, that is able to wound, that is able to destroy the biggest enemy, that is able to make anything fall. And there he was. Why? Because God knew there's going to be a time of in your life that you're going to need to remember when you slayed an enemy. There's going to be a time in your life when you are going to have your back up against the wall, and you are going to have to go back into the recesses of your mind and remember some victories. Why was it that they took Saul's head and chopped it off? Why was it that they took Saul's armor to the house of their God? I'll tell you why. Because that same night that there was one man that lost and there was one man that won, Simon and Judas, that same day that Saul realized that he couldn't destroy and defeat his enemies, there was another man named David that realized that he could slay his enemies. There was a man named David that realized that he could destroy his enemies. And he took the head of his Goliath and he knocked it clean off. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. David took the head of that Philistine to the city of David. David took the head of that Philistine to the place of victory and the place of battles. He took that and said, you know what? This head's for God. And he took his armor into his tent. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 8, and David said unto Ahimelech, and there is not here under thine hand spear or sword, for I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, David asked, I don't have a sword. I don't have a spear. I don't have anything. I have no weapon. And I'm in the house of God without a weapon. What am I going to do? What am I had to leave in a hurry. I'm on the run of my life. And Ahimelech said, not so, David. Not so, David. Not so, David, because remember, Dave, you took your trophies and you brought them to the house of God. You brought your trophies into the house of God. David, you're in the house of God. You're where all your trophies are at. The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you slew. David, remember when there was an enemy and you were the one that destroyed him. You were the one that defeated him. And David said, I remember. But it seemed like it was so far and so long ago. Behold, you slew him in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, with tears in his eyes, I remember. Why? Because God knew that there were going to be bigger giants he was going to have to slay. God knew there was going to be bigger giants that he was going to have to defeat. And he took his number one trophy and he said, here it is. And all of a sudden, David started to cry. David started to think back of when he was taking those, when he was swinging that sling saying, I'm not coming with a sword or a spear. I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he slew that guy and he chopped his head off with his own sword. And he said, there's none like that. Give it to me. Because I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it when I'm where I'm going. And the giants that I've got to slay, I've got to use it so I can realize and I can remember I used this. God was with me. He helped me. It wasn't me. It was God. He's not going to see me. He's not going to let me fail. He's not going to fall asleep on me. He knows where I'm at. He knows where I'm headed. And he's going to get me there. He's going to help me get there. Come on, tonight. I'm telling you tonight that the enemy that you destroy, when your back is up against the wall, your God's going to show you and you're going to say, I remember that. There's none like it. Give it to me. Can we stand and love him? House tonight, and your God wants to give you a sword to destroy an enemy that you have the power to defeat. I wish that some of you would go back into the recesses of your mind and remember just a few weeks ago when you felt the Spirit of God all over you. Please, I beg you, come. The Holy Ghost implores you, come. Please come. Please come and talk to Him. Please, please talk to God. Please. Hi. Come on. Some of you precious people in here think that you can't do it. God's trying to give you a trophy from off the walls of His house that you won. Come on. Come on. Two people left that afternoon. One left victorious. One left defeated. Two people left that night. One left victorious. One left defeated. Come on, your God is in here. Come on. Come on, can you just come and talk to Him? Come on, can you just come and talk to Him? Come on, can you just come and talk to Him? Tonight's not condemnation night. Tonight is victory night. Tonight is rejoicing night. Tonight is the night you're gonna slay your enemy. Come on. You don't have to bring Agag home with you. You don't have to bring Agag home with you. You can destroy him tonight. I pray right now that you, Lord, would move. Lord, I pray right now that you, Lord, would minister. Lord, I pray, touch our hearts. Lord, let us realize that we are more than conquerors in you. We are victorious. Come on, come on, come on, let your God help you do a great victory tonight. Let a cry come out in the house of God. Listen. Listen. I want you to listen to me for a minute. We're not done. But there's the power of God is getting ready to sweep into this place in just a minute. The power of God is already here. But I'm talking about a power that's going to come into this place and is going to touch some people. But what you've got to do is you've got to be honest with yourself and you've got to be honest with your God. Now, this is what we're asking. And for some, it may be a bit of an embarrassment. But it's not meant to be an embarrassment. You know where you're at and who you are. And what, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in this place has some enemies we need to kill. Everybody in this place has some enemies that we need to kill. But I'm talking right now to some people who are so beat up and so, feel so just, you just don't know which way to go. You're tired of just feeling this way, and you're tired of just, you know, coming in and getting victory and coming having to come back again tomorrow night and have to get victory all over again and have to come back again and have to come back again. I'm talking about a God that is in this place tonight, and He wants to give you a great victory. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you, come on, if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. All I want you to do is I want you to be honest with yourself and I want you to be honest with your God. I'm not asking to know what your enemy is. God's not asking anybody to come up to you and say, what is it that you're trying to fight? What is it that you're trying to beat? Now, wait. Now, there was one difference between Saul and Judas and David and Peter. Peter believed God. David believed God. You that are standing need to believe God. Do you remember when Jesus looked at the man and said, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that this is going to happen? Do you believe that you are going to walk out of this place tonight with your giant defeated? Do you believe that you are going to walk out of this place tonight victorious? Do you believe that you are going to walk out of this place and there are going to be some giants on the battlefield that are going to be strung out? That there are going to be some giants on the battlefield, and when we come into the house of God tomorrow night, those same giants are still going to be slain and still going to be strewn all over the battlefield so that you can come into the house of God tomorrow night and say, I can worship because there's the giants that have been affecting me. If you believe it, if you believe it, this is what I want us to do tonight. If you've got some repenting that you need to do, that's fine. You go ahead and you repent. But after you get done repenting, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your hands to heaven. And I want you to begin to worship Jesus. I want you to begin to thank Jesus. I want you to just begin to love Jesus. I want you to just let the praise of God ring out and let that two-edged sword go flying in your hand to start to slay those giants. Come on, why don't you raise your hands to heaven and why don't you believe Him? Lord, you see each and every person that is in this place. Lord, you know what is going on in their lives. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would come in. There are so many people that we cannot pray for them all. Lord, I'm praying right now that you, Lord, would send your angels. Lord, I'm praying that your angels, Lord, would begin to put the sword back in their hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Swinging the sword. Halamadia da gatana lea da madia. Lord, I pray right now by the power and by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I pray right now by the power and by the authority of the Word of God that you would come right now, Jesus, and that you would begin to do the work. Come on! There's victory in the house tonight. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would do it, Lord. Work in this house.